What to do when it feels like God doesn't love you. Welcome back, friends. Now, some of you might think that's a fluffy opening, Ken. Do we really need to feel or be aware of God's love in our life? And my answer to this is yes. And the reason why is because I think it's God's will. If you look at the pattern of the saints of the church, it's clear. They knew they were loved. Their experience of God was more than an intellectual knowing that they were loved by God. Just read their writings. Think for Saint Faustina, for example. She had a great horror of sin, but she also knew she was deeply loved by Jesus. Just read her writings. Look at the saints like Saint Thomas Aquinas, great intellectual giant of the church. Yet he had mystical experiences of God in his life that touched his heart and his emotions. St. Augustine, another intellectual giant in the church, yet he had a great moment of consolation in the garden where he turned his life over to God. And so the saints experienced the love of God. Now some would say, but look at the dark night, the soul. You know, they're in great desolation. God has removed all experiences from them. It's true. Mother Teresa, for example, it is said that many years she experienced darkness, desolation in the spiritual life. I would point out, however, before she experienced that great desolation, she had moments of great consolation. That's the pattern of the saints. Before they went into that dark night, they had moments of great consolation. See, the Lord wants us to know we are loved. And if we do not know we are loved, we will reduce our faith to a militant faith, rules, a bunch of rules, and we'll end up becoming a cranky Catholic. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. That's what happens. If we reduce our Catholicism down to a bunch of rules, I will follow this, I will fast on this day, I'll say these prayers on this day, I'll go to Mass on Sunday, all good. But if that's all our faith is, a bunch of rules, it's going to eventually lead to rebellion. And if it's not external rebellion, it'll be interior. We'll be a bitter Catholic, bitter, angry. I got to do this. And there'll be no tenderness in our relationship with Jesus or God the Father. The Lord has something better than that for us. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't need rules, but rules without relationship equals rebellion. But the opposite is true. And to consider, relationship without rules equals ruin. We need rules within every relationship for that relationship to grow. That's the beauty of the great spiritual life of the church. It avoids two extremes. We need rules, but we also need relationship. Think, what kind of father loves his children, but then says, but I don't want them to experience this love? Father doesn't do that. I mean, I love my children. I'm a broken father, yet I still want them to know my love. I pick them up, I kiss them, I hold them, I spend time with them. It would not be loving for me to say, oh, I love them, but I don't want to tell them, and I'll keep myself at a distance. No. Love wants to reveal itself to the beloved. The nature of God is love. And he wants to reveal his love to you personally. So you need to be open to how God wants to personally communicate his love to you. How that looks and his experience, I can't tell you. Everyone's different. Because we can say that because of the examples of the saints. Everyone experienced God's love differently. Those great saints. But they were aware that they were loved. Are you? Are you aware of a deep personal love of God in your life? Can you might say, is that really for me? Well, Pope John Paul II said this, and I quote, "Sometimes even Catholics have lost or never had the chance to experience Christ personally, not as a mere value, but as the living Lord, the way, the truth, and the life," end quote. JP2 is saying, sometimes even Catholics have lost or never had the chance to experience Christ personally. Have you had the chance to experience Christ personally? Are you aware of his deep love in your life? A moment of consolation, again, I don't know how this looks in your life. I just know that we need to be open to however God wants to communicate his love to us. I think the first thing that we can do, though, there's some practical things, and that is to make a decision. To say, Jesus, my life is yours. Now, I'm sure that you've made that decision before in your life, or else you wouldn't be watching this video, but it's just a reminder. Are we aware of a conscious, concrete commitment to Jesus where we've said, Jesus, I want to live my life for you. My life is not my own. You know, John Paul II said in an encyclical Mission of the Redeemer, conversion means accepting by personal decision the saving sovereignty of Christ and becoming his disciple. So he said, conversion means accepting by personal decision Jesus, his saving sovereignty. So are we aware of making a personal decision to say, Jesus, I need to be saved by you? Now, we express this always in the life of the church, right? Through the sacraments when we participate in them. That's what we're expressing. But sometimes we're not aware of this. We need to come to this awareness, a decision to say, Jesus, I need you. I turn my life over to you. What we don't want to do is become like the elder brother in the prodigal son. You see, what happens in the prodigal son is that the prodigal son, who's blown and squandered everything, comes to his senses and starts returning home. And what does the father do? The father sees him at a distance. That means the father was waiting for his son. I imagine the father getting up every morning thinking, is my son going to come home today? And every time he gets up, he looks out onto the horizon, his heart aching for the return of his son. And finally, who knows how long it has been, he looks out in the distance and he recognizes the form of his son coming as though he's a slave. He's lost his royalty. He's lost his clothes. And what does the father do? He doesn't wait for the son to get all the way home. He runs out and he goes and he doesn't greet the son. He tackles the son. He puts his arms around the son. He kisses his son. The son has an experience of his father. He has an experience of his love, an experience of his tenderness. And he welcomes his son home. He gets the ring. He gets the sandals. He gets the cloak. And the father kills the fatted calf and they rejoice. There's an experience the prodigal has of the father's love. All the while, what's happening to his older brother? He's on the outside looking in and he's horrified at what he sees. And the father, what does the father do? He does the same thing that he does for the prodigal son. He goes out to meet the elder brother. And instead of the elder brother allowing himself to be embraced, what does the elder brother do? He says, look, all these years I've slaved for you. I've never disobeyed an order. Yet you've never given me so much as a goat to celebrate with my friends. He's like, look, I've done everything right. I've followed all the rules. I've followed all the regulations. And what do I get? Nothing. No party. Do you feel like that? You followed all the rules, all the regulations in Catholicism, but you've never experienced his love. And what does the father say? Look, all I have is yours. But this son, he was lost and is found. We had to celebrate. The eldest son does not realize the father's love for him. And so he's a slave in the father's house. He does not know he's a son. What about you? Do you know the love of God the Father? Or have you been slaving away all these years, this novena, this mass, this rosary, this fasting, this Lent, this Advent, and you're angry and you're bitter and you've slaved away and you think, what have I got out of all this? I believe today the Father goes out to you and he wants to embrace you as he does the prodigal son. He wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants you to experience his love. Have you opened your heart to the tenderness of God the Father in your life? Have you experienced his touch? Or are you acting like the elder brother, looking into the party, getting angry? All the rules, the regulations, the discipline of the church is there to lead us into relationship. Have you experienced personally the love of Jesus Christ? You know, one thing I mentioned earlier is we have to choose to turn our life over to Jesus. I'm sure you've done that because this is why you're watching. But another practical thing that we can do, especially during the time of Lent, is place our minds and our hearts upon the way of the cross, the 14 stations. St. Alphonsus Liguori, in my opinion, has the most beautiful meditation on the Passion of Jesus Christ, his 14 stations. We've done a video on this. We've recorded it. It's linked here at the end of this video. A couple million people have watched it. It's our most viewed video, and it's for a reason, because St. Alphonsus touches a chord in the human heart, I believe, in his words, that revealed to us the passionate love of Jesus Christ, because that's what the Passion does. The Passion of Jesus reveals the passionate love of Jesus Christ. And so what should we do when we don't feel loved? Remind ourselves of the truths that I've just gone through. We've got to make sure we're making this decision to say, Jesus, I'm yours. I abandon my life. We've got to make sure that we're not acting like the elder brother looking in and realize the Father is coming out to us. He wants us to experience his embrace. The problem, again, with elder brother, he didn't allow himself to be embraced. The Father was there, but the Son was like this. And then practically, we pray. And we place our minds upon the stations of the cross, and we meditate upon his passion, and we realize that all that Jesus did was out of love for us. Friends, thank you so much for watching. Please comment below, share with me what stood out to you and why. And I'll see you tomorrow with Janelle. God bless you.